Well, yeah, I'm George. I've met everybody. Everybody knows me, and I'm Dad's son. There you go. Good testimony so far. Anyway, well, the way I got saved, I guess, was growing up. Started off in a secular home, really. You know, mom and dad wanted to impart to us, you know, good morals and good decision making and responsibility and whatnot, but. You know, and the Lord was kind of there because mom and dad both had a background in the Catholic Church. So, you know, every night we'd say the Lord's Prayer, you know, plus the Catholic part and stuff. And, you know, we just kind of did that whole thing. And, you know, early on, dad got invited to go to a Christian church. They were kind of looking for which, you know, what after coming out of the Catholic Church, what religion to be or however you want to say that. So they were looking around and got invited by a neighbor to go to Knott Avenue Christian Church, which is an offshoot of the Church of Christ. So automatically, you know, I got taken there. You know, I was pretty young though. I was probably six or seven or something like that. It was pretty young, and it was I did get to go to Sunday school and all that good stuff and learned all kinds of Sunday school songs and whatnot and. Just kind of, you know, that was our Sunday ritual, just going there. And mom ended up getting turned on to reading the Bible. I'm not sure exactly how that happened or who kind of stirred up her heart, but she starts reading the Bible, and that starts kind of causing a little bit of friction at home just with my mom and dad because, you know, dad, you know, has always been the leader and he wants to be the leader, but wasn't as into it as mom was, you know, and so... and that was kind of a bummer at that time, too, because mom wanted to listen to Christian radio and listen to teaching and whatnot on the radio. And, you know, dad wanted to listen to oldies, so I liked it when dad was driving because we'd listen to oldies, you know, and not have to listen to, you know, all the boring stuff and whatnot. And so anyway, you know, through a long time of praying, the Lord kind of stirs up my dad as well and meets a good guy at church that kind of inspires him to read his Bible. And we eventually leave that church and go to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And, you know, mom and dad are actually being proactive in their faith, you know, and I'm just kind of watching this whole thing. You know, me and my brother and sister, Eileen and Joe, are, you know, watching them. And, you know, there had been kind of some tough times there just because of that struggle between, you know, my dad, you know, not really wanting to be on board with it. And mom wanting him to be and wanting him to, you know, it was just a difficult time. But, you know, when he kind of gave in and gave his heart and his soul to the Lord, you know, they're on fire and they're kind of going. And, you know, we're just kind of watching. And I'm just kind of thinking, yeah, you know, that's awesome, Dad, you know, but I know you, you know, thinking, this whole, you know, and then Dad starts reading his Bible all the time, like all the time in the house and whatnot. And then our Christmases start involving reading the Bible and stuff. And that was kind of a bummer, you know, because it's just like, you know, all this monotony and, you know, now we have to do this. And, you know, I was young, so we're just kind of rolling with it. And we start going to Calvary Costa Mesa. I think, I'm in, just going into junior high. And, it's a big youth group there, real big youth group. And, you know, and they actually have, you know, the kids, you know, there's like, I want to say like 200 kids or something like that in the morning. And they have a study and worship and whatnot. And the whole thing is, you know, there's all kinds of Southern California kind of rich kids, you know, that hang out at the beach all the time and drive their dad's, you know, brand new Expedition down there and stuff. And so all these kids are like all friends and stuff. And there's a real heavy clique. So, you know, my brother and sister go to the high school group, and I'm in the junior high group, and nobody talks to me at all. You know, not that, you know, I mean, I wouldn't come here and just expect, oh, somebody please talk to me. But, you know, in junior high, I'm kind of, you know, wanting to have friends and whatnot, and everybody, it's just a closed door. And that was a huge bummer. And I'm thinking, oh, that's what this is all about. You know, everybody just comes here. It's a social gathering. Everybody's friends. That's what it is, you know. And, you know, and still, mom and dad are listening to the K-Wave, you know, Calvary Costa Mesa's, radio program. And, they're listening to that all the time, just listening to teaching all the time. And that's kind of getting old. And then the church is kind of lame. And so I just kind of had a, you know, kind of a hardened heart towards, you know, salvation and really, you know, because I knew who Jesus was. I knew all the, you know, I had heard it, you know, a million times, and I was pretty content with that. And it wasn't until I got into the high school group, you know, it was a little better because I could talk to my brother and sister, and they had kind of made friends. And so I kind of I made a couple acquaintances, but still nothing real good. And I want to say it was my I think it was my sophomore year, not my freshman year, but my sophomore year. That might have been the freshman year. Mom and Dad made me go to summer camp, you know, and I didn't want to go at all. Because I didn't know anybody. I didn't really want to plan to spend a week in the mountains alone, you know, just kind of doing my own thing, watching all these, you know, all these fakers, you know, like doing their Christian thing, all the while being all clicky and stuff. And so I wasn't really too into that. But Mom and Dad made me go and made Eileen and Joe go as well. And you know, the week was pretty normal. It was just the same old kind of teaching and whatnot. And but what kind of struck me about Christianity and whatnot was I had a counselor there. You know, each group of kids has like a counselor assigned to them. You know, a mid-20s year old guy. You know, he was pretty cool. His name was there was two guys actually, Troy and Dustin, and they were awesome because they both played guitar and they both led worship for the youth group and whatnot, which, you know, was all a big corporate deal. But here at camp, they'd get up at, we had to get up for devotions at like, I think those were at like 7:30 in the morning, which was, you know, kind of a bummer, but everybody had to go. But these guys would get up at, 5:30 or so and grab their guitars and leave, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. They're out there jamming or something in the morning or whatever, you know, and I roll back over and go back to sleep. Well, it was like midweek. It was like a Wednesday where I see this guy, Troy, head out with his guitar, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, sitting there thinking about it and whatnot. So I, you know, he's pretty cool. I've talked to him. He's a pretty decent guy. So I get dressed and I start heading out there, but he's already gone. So I'm just walking down the street, you know, down the path, trying to figure out where he went. And I can kind of hear the guitar playing. So I kind of follow that. And there he is, sitting out by the chapel all alone, all by himself. Playing his guitar and worshiping the Lord all by himself. You know, nobody's there. The other dude must have gone off somewhere else. So he's alone just singing his heart out, absolutely his heart out to the Lord. And I just kind of watched that for a minute. I'm thinking, that's totally weird. You know, he's like worshiping the Lord, you know, all by himself. You know, like he's not in the church, you know, and he's not worried about singing. You know, he's not worried about people like running into him or something and thinking that's silly. So I'm kind of thinking about that, like, oh, that's different. That's interesting, you know. You know, because I had always the time of singing and whatnot. Everybody stands up and lifts up their hands, and you know, I just thought it was weird. You know, all these dudes singing. You know, like singing with the girls, holding their hands up and stuff. Just the whole thing was beyond me. Even one time we went to a Calvary Chapel out in Las Vegas because my cousins were out there, and I remember me and my cousin laughing at this dude who's like he's kneeling, lifting up his hands, you know, on the ground while we're worshiping. And I'm looking at me and my cousin like, dude, look at this guy, you know. What's he doing down there, you know? And the whole thing was just a joke. But so it finally became real when I saw him just praising the Lord all by himself. I thought, wow, that's interesting. He's not doing this for anybody else, with anybody else. So anyway, it was later on that night, the youth pastor, Danny O'Neill, you know, he was giving a message. And I didn't really know him at that point because I'd never really taking the time to approach him. I was kind of the whole, oh, he's not approaching me, boo-hoo, you know. So he's given the message, and he gives a salvation message. And for the first time it struck me, you know, kind of between this guy worshiping alone and the salvation message was that that God is real and God is out there and that God wants to talk to me and hang out with me, you know. And the whole thing was kind of weird because I had always looked at it as a corporate thing. You know, like you go to church as a group, you worship as a group, you know, you leave as a group, and that's it, you know. And when he was talking in his salvation message just about how you know, God desires fellowship with us, you know, that fellowship that was lost in the garden, you know, and God wants to be with us. And that kind of blew me away because I'm thinking, well, you know, God wants to be with me, not he has to be with me, or he's angry with me. He wants to, you know, he wants me to do his thing and do his rules and whatever, but he wants to hang out with me. And then he gave a salvation, you know, he gave the altar call, you know, whoever wants to come up here and know God and have fellowship with the Lord, come on up. And I was just, you know, it pierced me, you know. So I went outside because I didn't want to go up, you know, because I didn't want to, you know, whatever. I don't know, just pride. I didn't want to be up there like boo-hooing and crying and, oh, I need God and everything. I'm still kind of thinking about everything. So I go out the side door and I'm just kind of sitting there, just kind of, you know, kind of holding back tears and whatnot, thinking, you know, God is out there and He loves me and He wants to be with me. And so I'm sitting there and I just kind of pray. I'm like, all right, God, if you're all powerful and you really want to have fellowship with me and you really want to, you know me and you want me to know you, then, you know, I pray that you'd send me a message, send me a sign right now. Show me somehow that you love me and that you want to be with me. And the words hadn't left my lips when this guy Troy walks out of the sanctuary building and walks over to me. And he just kind of leans there, and I'm just kind of sitting there kind of stunned, like, wow, this is weird, you know. And he just looks at me, he's like, what's going on? That's all I said. I just start crying, you know. I'm like, dude, you don't realize, man. I prayed for you to come out. I didn't even ask for you. I asked for something, but God sent you. You know, and so right there, he led me to the Lord. You know, I prayed the sinner's prayer and came to know the Lord and went inside and just, you know, my eyes were open for the first time where I didn't look at it as, just group hypocrisy. Everybody doing the Sunday thing. Everybody punching their card and doing the Christian thing. And then, you know, hopefully they'll get to heaven or whatever. Now it was, you know, it wasn't even about salvation. It was just about knowing God and God wanting to know me, you know, and it was just exciting. And so with that, I went in and gave my life to the Lord and humbled myself before Him. But then the Lord inspired me also because the very next day and even that night, the Lord totally changed my heart about worship and whatnot, and I totally understood, you know, what it was and that it was about adoration. It was about God loving us and giving us the opportunity to tell Him. And so, you know, I went inside and I knew the lyrics because I had heard them a million times. I just never sung them, you know. And so I just opened my mouth and just started praising the Lord. And it was just like, just this release of like, you know, it was just this communion with God, you know, Almighty God, you know, right there, you know, I close my eyes and I'm alone with Him. You know, everybody else, I don't care what they're doing. They're talking. Maybe they're singing. Maybe they're singing to the Lord. Maybe they're singing for the people to hear them. But I got to close my eyes and just worship the Lord, you know, in peace and you know, all alone. And so that it was then the Lord inspired me, you know, that I wanted to learn how to play the guitar and be able to have worship by myself, just like this dude Troy. He got to just hike off. He didn't have to be in a church. He could just worship the Lord by himself. And so the Lord really, really did a huge work in me that day, not only bringing me to salvation, but also bringing me into a tight-knit relationship where I wanted to give back. And I, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about, you know, I mean, I heard all kinds of studies and whatnot. I'd never actually studied the Bible myself, but that was the first real fellowship with the Lord, and it was a powerful week, you know. And I came back, told Mom and Dad about it, that I got saved and that everything was awesome, and they were totally stoked because they had just sent us figuring, oh, the Lord will do a work, you know. They fronted the money and just figured, you know, God's going to do something. And I didn't want to be there, but yeah, the Lord met me there up in the mountains. So I've got a, you know, so I love summer camps. I love worship. I love, you know, I don't know, the whole thing is awesome. I love youth group and whatnot because I can see how that's, you know, that's where God changed my life. And it's just you know, I don't know, it's just a huge blessing. I don't know what that guy Troy is up to now. I you know, never really kept contact with him. I didn't like deify him, like, oh, I want to be like Troy. But he was just a simple guy, you know, just loving the Lord, you know. Wasn't loving him for me, wasn't loving him to get me saved or anybody else. He's just loving the Lord, and that touched me, you know. And yeah, I praise God. That's it.